Hi, and welcome to the Overshoot Podcast,
a 9-part podcast series by the International Institute for Applied Systems Analysis, IASA.
My name is Frederik Hocke.
And I'm Francesca Gandolfo.
We are climate journalists and founders of Kurzschluss Redaktion based in Vienna.
In this podcast, we will interview 9 experts in different fields to understand how we can cope with a world post 1.5 degrees warming.
Each episode is a little sneak peek into the topics of the Overshoot Conference hosted by IASA in Luxembourg, end of September.
The Overshoot Conference will discuss in depth how we can navigate the risks, trade-offs, and opportunities that come with overshoot scenarios.
We are very excited to be able to talk to some of those experts in advance and hope you enjoy listening to our conversations.
Thanks for tuning in.
Welcome to the Overshoot Podcast. We're sitting here in the studio with Karl Schleusner. Karl is a climate scientist and leads the Integrated Climate Impacts Research Group at the IASA Energy, Climate and Environment Program. In the past years, his research focuses mainly on climate overshoot. He's also the lead author of the chapter on climate overshoot in the upcoming IPCC assessment report. He's with us today because he's part of the organizing committee of the Overshoot Conference. Really nice to have you here in our studio.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Karl, it's 2025, 10 years past the Paris Agreement, where many countries agreed to limit climate warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius. Where do we stand today?
Unfortunately, we need to admit that 10 years after the Paris Agreement, emission reductions globally have not been sufficient to set the world on track to limit warming to 1.5 degrees. That doesn't mean the Paris Agreement is not working. It is a very successful international mechanism, but it has not been enough to really bend the emissions curve. In fact, emissions are still rising. And to make matters even worse, in the last couple of months and years, we've seen a political backlash against global climate action that makes it even more challenging to imagine a future where we will act rapidly and decisively in line with the science to keep 1.5 degrees in close reach. So what we need to understand now is that we've probably blown our chance for the first best world that we hoped for at the time where Paris was agreed to limit warming to 1.5 degrees and avoid all the impacts that would arise from exceeding it. So we need to think about a second or even third best world and how to navigate it and what it means for societies and this, our future on this planet. And this is what scientists explore under the title of climate overshoot.
But what exactly do we mean when we're talking about climate overshoot? Can you maybe put in little simple terms for the listeners who don't know about this concept that much?
The idea of a climate overshoot relates to the question of exceeding a certain global warming level in this specific case. So exceeding 1.5 degrees of global warming and then trying in the very long run to bring temperatures back down again. This has a number of very particular concepts that we need to think about when we think about the question of climate overshoot. The first one is that temperatures are going to continue to rise until we reach globally net zero CO2 emissions.
When you hear this, Francesca and me are explaining some terms that maybe not all listeners are familiar with.
Net zero, in this case, means cutting carbon emissions down to the smallest amount possible.
The goal isn't no emissions at all, but making sure the leftover emissions can be absorbed and stored by forests, soil, or even new technologies that capture carbon.
So net zero means that we don't produce more emissions than we can absorb, usually measured within the time span of 1 year.
At this time, this is our best scientific estimate, we will achieve global peak warming, so temperatures may not increase any further. We need to think about overshoot above 1.5 in the terms of additional warming and additional impacts of the climate crisis experienced around the world, intensifying until that level of peak warming. And our second or third best world doesn't end there, because if we want to bring global temperatures back down again, we need to be able to actively withdraw carbon dioxide from the atmosphere at a large scale, at an industrial scale. This may require technologies that are expensive, that may need a lot of resources, a lot of land, and may come with a lot of other trade-offs. And we need to understand what is possible, what is desirable, and what does it mean in terms of avoiding also the long-term impacts of climate change. And when thinking about overshoot, we need to think about the near-term, the consequences that our failure of limiting warming to 1.5 has now or in the coming decades. And we need to think about the very long-term and what is required to bring temperatures back down again.
Thank you for that explanation. I think it was already a little bit in your answer, but why should we be concerned about overshoot?
We understand increasingly well that the impacts above a 1.5 degree world means we are not safe. We cannot stay there. It's a question of international justice because the impacts of exceeding 1.5 degrees are going to hit the communities, countries and peoples in the global south particularly hard. Think about small island states, least developed countries, countries with the lowest adaptive capacity at the forefront of the climate crisis. And they're going to be hit hard and they're being hit now and they're going to be ever hit ever harder over the coming decades in an overshoot world that exceeds 1.5 degrees. So we need to think about how to help them, how to support them, what are their needs and what does this mean to navigate that overshoot world. But we also need to think about the long term and bringing temperatures back down again. That's basically a price tag we put on future generations to pay. Because we are basically telling them, well, look, we didn't manage, but we think it probably was better to limit warming to 1.5 degrees in the long run, and there might be good reasons. So you need to now deal with the impacts of the climate crisis of a higher warming level on the one hand, but you also need to invest in basically a large-scale planetary cleanup activity. So good luck with that. That ultimately means we need to at least take right decisions today to enable both vulnerable groups today, but also in the future, to act on overshoot and to manage the climate overshoot in a sustainable manner.
You also just already said this topic is often viewed as a long-term problem, but it's also a problem right now. Why do we need to act on overshoot already today, and who especially needs to act?
When we think about the question of overshoot in our second and third best worlds, there are lots of trade-offs everywhere. There's one simple truth, that is bringing emissions down as fast as possible on the race to net zero is what we need to stay focused on. But beyond that, dealing with the questions of adaptation, loss and damage, future carbon dioxide removal and so on, they are all intricacies involved in how we do that. And we need to be able to understand them in a coherent scientific manner. Right now, there are different scientific communities who work on questions like this. And I think we need to come together to understand what the real story is in this second or third best world. Because what we urgently need is we need to convey the fact that exceeding 1.5 is not a time for climate complacency. It's a time for doubling down on climate action, doubling down for climate action for countries, for political decision makers, for businesses and industry, but also for people around the world. And in order to do that and to understand what this means and to show why climate action is not just worthwhile, but even ever more worthwhile, ever more important today, I think we need to bring a lot of people from the scientific community and around the world to the table to develop a narrative that we hope can be convincing.
That's really interesting what you just said, because my impression is always that the scientists have done their homework and we know where we stand. So it's interesting to hear that actually scientists from different disciplines need to come together and talk a bit more as well. And I think that was exactly why you organized the conference that will be taking place at the end of September at YASA. Can you maybe tell us a little bit more about your motivation?
The idea for the conference is really to try to bring scientific communities globally together to discuss the questions of overshoot and make them understand each other better. Yes, scientists are curious by nature, and they are curious in also a broad range of different perspectives. But no scientist, as no policymaker, is able to keep everything in their heads all the time. So it's very important to ensure diversity of voices from disciplines, but also from different backgrounds around the world at the table to actually understand what all the aspects are and how we should evaluate them, and also where we may make normative choices, ethical choices in our research, and what it does mean for people and ecosystems around the world, and what these ethical perspectives are that we need to understand and organize our research accordingly.
You have worked out 8 topics in advance, all of which deal with the overshoot problem. Can you briefly introduce them?
The idea of the conference is that we have 8 different overarching themes that we all think are interacting and that we need to bring to the table to actually try to paint a coherent picture of what climate overshoot really means. And I'm going to explain that a little bit and also try to link them to each other, starting out with the first topic, which is the highest possible mitigation ambition under overshoot. We need to stay laser focused on bringing emissions down to achieve net zero CO2 emissions as fast as possible to limit peak warming. And we need to understand what is possible, what is also required to do that, and how do we actually activate climate action also in the case of an overshoot. And this is the topic of the first theme. But this is going to bring us to the point of net zero. And then we already know that this is not going to be enough, but we need to aim for reversing warming after that. After we achieve net zero, we need to go net negative, and that directly brings us to the second theme.
That would be carbon dioxide removal, sustainability constraints, and opportunities.
In order to reverse warming globally, we need to actively remove carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. There are different technological solutions. They all cost a lot of money, but many of them also come with different other side effects. And to make matters worse, we don't have them today. We have ideas on how they may work, but we don't have them at scale. And we don't have basically the technology necessarily readily available to make it happen. So we need to understand what is possible, where can we go, what is also sustainable levels of carbon dioxide removal, and ultimately, what is required to deal with an overshoot world and the risks that arise. And for this, we need to look very closely also into what happens in the climate and the Earth system, which brings us to our next theme.
Next theme, Earth system responses up to net zero and beyond.
When we look into an overshoot world, we need to be careful of not being overconfident to say, oh yeah, we can draw a line of the global temperature response in the future up to the year 2050 or beyond. We need to appreciate that there are lots of uncertainties in the climate system, how the carbon cycle may respond, how the ocean currents may respond, how the atmosphere and clouds may respond under global warming. And we need to factor that in and take it seriously. And that means that under an overshoot scenario, we may have, you know, unpleasant surprises. Maybe warming is more strongly than we thought. Maybe reversing global temperature is more difficult than we thought. And we need to look into these questions very carefully and understand them, because we need to manage the risks of an overshoot world, and they start with understanding the Earth system response to the big experiment that we are doing. Ultimately, though, even if we were successful to reverse global temperatures, that doesn't necessarily mean that also local climate impacts are going to reverse. And we need to understand that too, because that's ultimately what we're going to care about on the ground, and that brings us to our next theme.
Theme 4 is climate impact irreversibility and reversibility.
We're bringing global temperatures back down again with the hope that this is going to also bring back down climate impacts. And this may be true for some, for example, temperatures and also extreme temperatures may follow the global temperature closely, but for others, this may be a little bit more complicated. What about the hydrological cycle? What does it mean for precipitation patterns, for example, but also for impacts on agriculture, on biodiversity, on ocean life, and also big systems and the big subsystems of the climate? So a lot of these things are open questions right now, but we need to understand what the benefits are of bringing temperatures back down, and we need to focus on them while appreciating that for some systems, we do know that they are irreversible, which brings us to the next theme.
Theme 5 is the overshoot legacy and tipping elements.
We can already say today with confidence that there will be a legacy of overshoot for centuries to come in the Earth system. That is true, for example, for sea level rise, because sea level rise is happening on such long timescales that it really only adds to future sea level rise expectations any additional warming that we may have, even if we are able to bring temperatures back down. Nevertheless, this is not even the biggest legacy that we may have, because we do know that there are so-called tipping points in the climate system, for example, in relation to the Greenland or Western Antarctic ice sheet, that may be triggered at or around 1.5 degrees if warming stays there for a very long time. There's deep uncertainty, meaning we scientists, we don't really know for how long we can stay there before the system's going to be triggered into an irreversible decline. But we do know if we stay there long enough that this might happen. So ultimately, in order to hopefully avoid triggering such responses, we need to bring temperatures back down again in the long run, and we need to understand the legacy of these really large-scale planetary risks that are going to unfold for centuries to millennia and shape potentially the face of this planet differently than we know it today, that arise from our overshoot. And then we need to understand, if we understood what this actually means for impact reversibility or irreversibility, how do we actually deal with all of that?
Which brings us to the next theme. Theme 6 is adaptation and adaptation limits under overshoot.
Ultimately, exceeding 1.5 degrees means we need to do a lot more to deal with the impacts of the climate crisis. We are seeing today how climate or global warming of around 1.35 degrees that we are experiencing is overwhelming human and ecosystems. We are seeing extreme events that we are not prepared for. We are seeing human suffering. We see nature suffering. This is going to intensify with intensified warming. So we need to step up our game to adapt to those impacts, but we're also going to see limits to adaptation emerging. For example, tropical coral reefs may be one of the most effective way to protect coastal communities and tropical regions against sea level rise Unfortunately, due to marine heat waves, tropical coral reefs may perish above 1.5 degrees and may not be available for that protection anymore, making adaptation not a lot more difficult and costly, in addition to the loss of unique and precious ecosystems. But that means, ultimately, not just is going to be adaptation more necessary, it will probably also be a lot more difficult to achieve as warming increases above 1.5 degrees. And we need to keep that perspective in mind, but also really double down on the need of adapting to an overshoot world and supporting those most in need. Which brings me to the next theme, because it means there are going to be effects of climate change above 1.5 degrees that we cannot adapt to anymore.
This is theme 7, loss and damage.
Loss and damage in climate describes things that are being destroyed because of the climate crisis. They may exceed our capacity to adapt to them. They may also mean that communities are losing heritage, home, a sense of belonging. There's economic losses that we can all quantify in terms of destruction by climate-related natural disasters, but there are non-economic losses that relate to livelihoods and also cultural traits and other things. These losses are happening today, even at levels below 1.5 degrees of warming. So this is not the case that basically we're all safe and 1.5 degrees is just fine. I think we're all experiencing that this is definitely not the case. But we do know they're going to intensify with every increment of warming above 1.5 degrees. So understanding what these losses are, what these loss and damage really means for vulnerable communities around the world is of critical importance to also fundamentally understand what it all means when we think about questions of fairness.
Which brings us to the last theme, theme 8, legal and justice implications of overshoot, which I think is a particularly interesting topic as well, because I think the legal field is usually not one that is really integrated in other climate science. So it's really nice that you're bringing that together here, I think.
Yeah, thank you. I'm also particularly excited about bringing that to the table, but I feel it's fundamentally important to interlink also with the other themes. Because ultimately, what we talk about when we talk about overshoot, we talk about failure. We failed to limit warming to 1.5 degrees. Doesn't mean the Paris Agreement has failed. The Paris Agreement kind of allows for a potential overshoot and bringing warming back down as long as we keep warming to well below 2 degrees. Yet, it means a failure for vulnerable communities around the globe and for future generations. And we need to deal with that. We need to ask the questions, what are the justice implications of that? Who is accountable for that failure? And if we have failed to ask those questions and get good answers, we may also fail to actually get more climate action, which is precisely what we need. And we may fail to ultimately also hold those accountable that may have the resources to support and pay for the consequences of the second and third best world, which is our climate overshoot world, that we need to deal with. So ultimately, from theme 8, we're going back to a lot of other themes, but in particular theme 1, because the question on how do we stay laser focused on bringing emissions down ultimately depends on the question of who's responsible, who's accountable for what has happened, that we have failed to limit warming to 1.5 degrees, and what does it mean for climate action in an overshoot world? And I think that's fundamentally a question of ethics and justice, and this is under basically putting the whole overshoot conference, I think, under that umbrella, which is, I think, very important.
Thank you so much for introducing all these themes. As you just made clear, all these topics are also intertwined with each other. They're connected. Why can't we just look at them in isolation? Why is it so important to see them as a whole picture, as a big picture?
I think ultimately by looking at them together, we're going to gain new insights of how we be able to manage this overshoot world. Because now the question that is upon us is not a question whether or not we like it. It's not a question whether or not we wanted to be in the second or third best world. It's a question that we are there and we need to understand what we can do and what we should do and how we do it. And this requires these different perspectives. And I'm very, very happy that I have really a fantastic group of global experts on all these different topics that are supporting us and organizing this conference as members of our scientific steering group. And they all also going to join you on this podcast series and explain in greater detail what really their individual topics are about and how they interrelate with all these other questions. And I'm very excited to hear that.
Thank you so much for your explanations, Carl. I'm really looking forward to all the interviews we're going to do with the experts, but maybe you can still tell us a little bit about the motivation for this podcast. Why is this being published before the conference?
We are really excited to have this podcast series, not just because we are excited about podcasts, but really also because we feel that this allows us to set the scene for those different themes, to get to come there prepared, come excited, come also curious to learn more about some of the thoughts that maybe this podcast is going to stipulate. And we hope that this is really setting the scene very nicely for this interdisciplinary exchange that we are so much looking forward to have in autumn here in Austria. And I can only say, if you're interested and if this is a topic that you want to learn more about, reach out to us, reach out to the organizing team of the Overshoot Conference, and we hope to hear from you and be in touch.
Amazing.
that was such a good closing. Thank you for being here, and see you in September.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Ciao.